In this episode, I'm joined by Liv, who shares a positive induction story from Yorkshire in England. So, get as comfy as you can and enjoy. Listening to the Positive Induction Podcast, a podcast for those who have chosen to have an induction or for those interested in how they can make induction a more positive experience. I'm your host, Jade Gordon, clinical hypnotherapist, hypnobirthing teacher, and positive induction coach. As always, I want to remind you, positive birth means different things to different people. For example, it may be feeling in control, respected, educated, like you know what's going on at each stage. It does not mean perfect. Birth rarely goes exactly to plan. My aim here is to bring you tips, inspiration, and real life experience, just like today's birth story. So let's get started. So thanks for joining me today, Liv. It's really exciting to hear your story. I'm glad you could be here. More stories is always good, right?
Yeah, no problem. I'm looking forward to sharing it, actually. Quite like talking about it.
Good. And did you listen to or read many birth stories when you were pregnant?
I really struggled to actually find that many positive induction stories. It was just a lot of negative stories. So we chose to do hypnobirthing. We had a one-to-one session, and that was when I was about 25 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
So I was very much one of these, people that if there's information out there, I'll take it. I like to know as much as I can know about something, and birth was definitely one of those things. And also I'd already heard that, you know, you don't want to get induced. That was kind of one of the things that I'd been told very early on. In hypnobirthing, it was great. We learned a lot, but it was also very much, you don't want to be induced. This is something that you should steer clear of as long as possible. And then in the end, we found ourselves, I was 12 days over.
Yeah.
With my little girl who's called Bieber. So I was having all my midwife appointments and going through everything. Everything was absolutely fine. There was no medical reason other than the fact that we were just coming up towards 2 weeks over our due date. So yeah, I had all of that in the back of my mind, but I couldn't really, I was searching for loads of stuff, but actually it's quite hard to find a lot of positive induction stories, isn't it? There's not really much out there.
Well, I mean, now there is. Now you've got to go to positiveinduction.com and there's like 50 odd stories.
Which is crazy.
I remember feeling the same. Not all hypnobirthing is like that, but there is still a lot of hypnobirthing classes which are very anti-induction. And I have like a bit of a passion rant around this because I feel like it's not the place of a hypnobirthing teacher to tell you not to have an induction or an induction is a bad idea. Yes, there are too many inductions, but for people where it's really like it's necessary or it's a choice you make, if you've heard so much about, oh yeah, you don't want to do that, that's a bad idea, then it's really hard when you make that decision not to, that voice is still in your head, isn't it?
Yeah. I think you also, we ended up feeling like we were having to justify a decision that we made, even though we made the decision that was right for us and right for our birth.
Yes.
But even though we were being told that we were kind of getting to the point where we needed to move things along, it was like we were still battling with it, even though there was no reason for that other than you've just heard all of these stories not to do it.
Yeah.
And you feel like there's this perception that you have to be like, no, actually, I don't want that. But actually, I feel like now, having gone through what I've been through, which was a really positive, really great birth, I tell all of my friends who are expecting, just relax and go with it, because actually having that negative connotation about induction is only going to make it harder for you.
Yeah.
And make the decisions that may or may not come up harder.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what helped you in making that decision then?
Well, I've got a twin sister who has a who had her second baby 2 months before we had our baby, which was in March, and she was induced for reduced movements at 39 weeks. So she was in, she had come out of that and had a really positive experience, and she had said, you know, told me what happened, and I had a first-hand experience of what happened in induction. So I was kind of like, right, actually, it's okay,
Yeah.
because I'd heard a positive story. So I was a bit more relaxed about what we were coming into it.
And were you given like a good amount of information from your healthcare provider?
No, so basically, our midwife was great, but she was very much like, don't, you know, if you go in, they will just induce you. But then I got to 10 days after over my estimated due date, so I had to go into hospital because of the borough that we're in. And the first thing that happened, I was sat in the room. They hadn't even put a monitor on me. A consultant came in, and the first thing he said to me was, "Your placenta will be dying now." And me and my husband were like, "Whoa, okay, please, can we just take a step back?" And that was really horrible. That really upset me. And it just made me feel like I'd done something wrong because I was still pregnant and I was 10 days over. And I was a bit like, whoa, let's just take a step back. They hadn't even checked the baby then. So, and then when they did, she was absolutely fine. But by that point, we'd already had all this awful information thrown at us. So we were just like, what are we going to do? This is awful. And in the end, I said, having spoken to my husband, I said, I actually just want to go home now. Unless you telling me there's something wrong with this, wrong with the baby, I want to go home and I need 24 hours to just process it all, because what you've just said to me, I don't agree with, but also I just need some time to kind of go through what's going on now, because I was obviously bored of being pregnant and very ready to have a baby, but she was not ready. She hadn't moved down. I'd had nothing to suggest that she was on her way, other than me just being very fed up of being pregnant. So I just, and I knew that she was fine, having had the monitor on. So I just needed 24 hours to kind of come home and process it, because we didn't get the information that we needed. We just got
It's like scaremongering, isn't it?
completely that. Yeah.
So were they quite receptive to you going home, which you are in your right to do, of course? Were they quite positive about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was what was one of the great positive things from hypnobirthing is obviously they very much advocate and do teach you to take the information and to make your own decision. They said I had to come back the next day. I had to come back and go on a monitor again. And then he started talking about a cesarean, which again, I said, I don't think we need to be talking about this. I haven't even gone into labour, let alone, I just kind of did stop my feet a bit at that point, because I just thought, you're just throwing all this information at me and you're not letting me speak. But yeah, we had 24 hours, and then when we did go back in, I decided by that point that I was ready to start the induction process, because what day was that? That was the Wednesday, so I was 12 days over at that point. But that was since coming home and having some time to kind of debrief and think about what we wanted to do.
Yeah. So, what did you do during that 24 hours? Did you chat through with your partner and
Yeah, I
what else
remember
did
I
you
came
do?
home and had a really big cry because I was just really scared of what had been told to me. Had a good chat with my mum, and then we just watched a film and we just chilled out and we just talked it through, and we both kind of said, we feel like we've just been told not to go down this route, but actually, what do we want to do? And I kind of came around to it, and I after having some time to think about it, I just said, I'm ready to meet our baby now, and let's just go with the flow and see what happens.
Did you sleep okay that night?
No.
I remember like the night before, like all the excitement and nerves and everything. Like, you know, everyone will say to you, you've got to rest, you know, but it's
I know,
hard.
but it's like people say, sleep when the baby is sleeping. I don't think that is true. I don't think anyone can do that. No, because I had to call the hospital the morning of to book a time slot to be induced. So by that point, I was like, I just want to come in now. I've made the decision. I just want to come in now. But I actually had to wait till 5 o'clock that day.
Okay.
I can't really remember what we did. We probably just watched loads of reality TV and went for a walk. And then when I got to the hospital, they were going to do the 24-hour pessary, but they couldn't because they didn't have enough midwives.
Okay.
So I had a night in hospital by myself on the induction ward. But by that point, I was in a really positive mindset because I was just thinking, well, something's happening. We're going to be closer to going into labour. I'm going to meet the baby. It's in next, you know. I did in my head think, oh, I'll meet them tomorrow.
Yep.
And actually, I didn't. It was 2 days. But the midwives were amazing. As soon as I went in, every single one of them said to me, do you know why you're here? Do you understand why you're being induced? Do you want to be induced?
That's good.
So it felt like it was very much a decision that we had made. Yeah. And there was nothing negative about it in terms of what they were saying. They were just saying, it's your first baby, so we'll do the 24-hour pessary just to give you some time, to give your body some time and to see what happens that way. So then the following morning, they gave me the pessary, and then we just kind of chilled for 24 hours in the hospital.
So were you together?
Yeah, so he was, my husband Clem was allowed to be with me. So we had a side room, and then they were monitoring the baby every 6 hours and myself, and we just walked around the hospital pretty much. He was allowed with me up until about 10 o'clock at night, which was great. So they were checking on me. We were just chilling. Nothing had happened. And then about 12 o'clock at night, I started to feel some surges. And I was thinking, oh, this is so exciting because something's finally happening. Yeah. And my friend had told me about the Freya birth app. So I downloaded that. So I was sat on my birth ball, just kind of going through that and breathing through everything. And then I fell asleep about 4 a.m. And then I woke up again about 6.
Okay.
And everything had stopped.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
All the excitement is happening. Oh no.
Yeah. And then literally bang on 24 hours, my pessary fell out.
Yep.
So I was thinking, okay, well, that's positive. Something has happened. And then the head midwife, because by that point I'd been in hospital nearly a day and a half.
Yeah.
I was a bit fed up, if I'm honest. And the head midwife came in and she was just like, gave me a good pep talk. And then she talked through what my options are and what was going to happen now.
Yeah.
So they checked me then at that point, once the pessary had fallen out, and I was 2 centimeters.
Okay.
So they asked me if they could break my waters, and we said yes. So the head midwife broke my waters, and they realized that there was meconium in my waters, but they said it was such a small amount that they weren't worried about it. So it wasn't going to, they weren't concerned. And then it kind of all started slowly ramping up once my waters were burst. So they gave me 2 hours in the induction suite once my waters had been broken. We just walked around a lot. And then by then my surges were coming on and it was getting more noticeable. I was having to wasn't really be able to talk through them.
Yeah.
So then they moved me on to the delivery suite. Because I was induced, there was no option of a water birth or anything like that. But by that point, to be honest, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
One thing I did say is, I know I need to be monitored the whole time because I'm going to get the drip. But do you have any wireless monitors so I can move around? And they were amazing. They went and found some for me. So they put me on the wireless monitor so I didn't have to be stuck in a position.
That's great.
Which was great. One thing I didn't realise is that you can't eat or drink when you're on the oxytocin drip.
It depends on your hospital, that on the policy.
So they didn't let me, yeah. So, and I was thinking, but I've got to eat because I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this for. But in the end, I threw it all up anyway, so it was fine.
I mean, I think technically you can eat, like it's one of your rights to eat. It's very, some hostels are very much advise against it for certain reasons, yeah. certain cases, and yeah. But yeah, if you're going to throw it up anyway.
Exactly. So yeah, so after about 2 hours, they put me on the drip, but they started the oxytocin drip off really slowly, obviously. And then every half an hour, they were upping the drip.
Yeah.
I was sick the whole time I was pregnant. I had HG, so I was quite used to being sick, but my sickness came on quite strongly when the drip started.
Yeah.
So I asked for a cyclosine injection because I've been taking cyclosine throughout my pregnancy. So once I'd had the anti-sickness injection, though, I was feeling great.
Good, yeah.
So I was walking around the room a lot, which was what I thought I'd want to do. And then after about an hour and a half, I got onto the bed and I found a position that was quite comfortable for me, which previous to being in labour, I was like, I'm going to be active the whole way through. But actually, the midwife said to me, you'll just find a position that works for you. And she was right. I did.
Yeah.
So I ended up being sat on the bed with my legs up and with my back flat against the bed. So I was kind of sat up, almost squatting, but sitting down, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that was the most, and I stayed like that the entire way through. I think that was about, there was about 3 or 4 hours. And then I went on to the gas and air.
Yes.
So I remember thinking, oh, this is getting quite painful now. Yeah. So I had the gas and air, which really worked for me.
Good. Yeah. Did you have any checks up to this point other than that you had the one at 2 centimeters, didn't you?
I had two centimeters, then they broke my waters and then they didn't check me.
Yeah.
Not at one point did they ask to check me either. In the end, I asked them to check me because I needed to push, and they said, you're probably not ready yet. And this was 4.5 hours in.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I need to. I absolutely need to. And in the end, I was the one who asked them to check me. So at that point, I said, I really need to push now. They did check me because they said, oh, you're probably not ready, but I was. And then after they said, you're ready to go, I was pushing for, I think, 25 minutes, and then she came out.
Yeah.
So when I was fully done, and then they said, you've got 2 hours to push and then we'll see what happens. But in the end, she actually came in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then without asking, they just did delayed cord clamping, which is what I wanted anyway. So that was great. And it was just brilliant because it all went really smoothly, but the whole time I felt like I was in control.
Yes.
I had a student midwife who was amazing, and another midwife, obviously, but they were just brilliant. There was no negativity in terms of, right, you need to do this, pushing me and coaching me. It was very much, I ended up going into the back of my head, which I kept saying, but I ended up just basically being in my head the whole time. I didn't really say anything. But it was because my body just knew what to do.
Yeah.
And everyone had said, like, oh, the drip, you know, it makes it really painful. And obviously everyone feels pain differently. So you can't say yes or no to that because you don't know that.
Yeah.
But I never once felt like my body was doing something that it wasn't meant to be doing.
That's good.
So it was a really brilliant experience. In terms of an induction, for me, it didn't make any difference that I wasn't in the pool or that I couldn't walk around because I could walk around. And, you know, you don't know how your body's going to react. I've never given birth before, so I had no idea what was going to happen. And obviously every birth is different and you just don't know until it's going on as to what's going to happen. Yeah. But you know, even once we'd had Bieber, I remember having a conversation with the midwife and saying, oh my goodness, like, I don't know why everyone's so negative about inductions. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I know. And I did say, I had really exhausted my options because we were getting towards being 2 weeks, you know, I was getting towards being 42 weeks, and I was ready.
Yep.
I was ready to go into labour and have the baby. And there was nothing about my delivery that wasn't in my control.
Yep.
And I think that's, for me anyway, that was all I wanted.
Yeah.
Was just to feel that I was doing it and that no one was pushing me into making a decision that I didn't want to do.
It's still your birth and your birth experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters at all, whichever way you give birth. But I also think it would be really sad to look back and think, oh, I didn't get what I wanted.
Yeah. And it, like, a positive birth means different things to different people. And
exactly. Yeah.
It's like a lot more often it's how you feel rather than what happens to you. Like whether you felt like you were in control and respected and cared for, rather than like, oh, I didn't get a water birth, so that
you know,
didn't tick that box. It's not really about that. It's about the experience as a whole and how you feel, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think there's this kind of weird pressure of, oh, you don't want to do this. Oh, there's the two camps, isn't there? For me, when I was getting overdue, there was a lot of pressure from people saying, "Oh, just get induced.
Yeah.
Do you need to, are you booking in for a C-section?" Or there was other people who were saying, "Don't listen to anything anyone says to you. Your baby will come when it's ready."
And it's somewhere in the middle in reality, isn't it?
And
personal choice.
Exactly. And I was just really done with being pregnant, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I just thought, I can't do another week of this.
Yeah.
I was so uncomfortable and I just wanted to meet the baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. And then after she arrived, did everything go well? How was your recovery?
Yeah, absolutely. She came up, they put her on my chest, and then we did delayed cord clamping. My other half cut the cord, which he really didn't enjoy doing. He's really squeamish. Yeah. He's trying not to retch during that. But she then latched on straight away, which was great, because I'd always thought I would breastfeed, but I was also very much, I didn't want to put any pressure on myself, because I just thought, you don't know how these things work. You don't know if it's going to work for you or if the baby is going to take to it. But she started breastfeeding in the delivery suite, which was great. And then they sorted me all out. And then they turned down the lights. I had some toast and tea. And then they left us left us for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. Clem did skin to skin with Bieber. And we just FaceTimed my family and his family. And I remember my friend, when she had her baby, she said, that bit, just the three of you, is incredible. And you've just got to soak it all up. And now you look back and think, how amazing, isn't it? Just the three of you for the first time ever. And they were so respectful. They stopped coming in and they just completely left us to it, just so we could just soak her in, really, which was really nice. And then it was about 10 o'clock at night and they moved me onto the postnatal ward. And then they sent Clem home. And then there was another student midwife who was amazing. She sat with me for about an hour just while I was, because I was thinking, I don't know if I'm breastfeeding properly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is this right? And she just sat with me and was just kind of teaching me about positioning the baby and watching her to see if she's actually drinking. And so she sat with me for a bit, and then by that point we both kind of just passed out, really.
Yep. Shattered.
Yeah, we were both exhausted, obviously. And then I remember thinking, what do I do now? Like, she's asleep. What do I do? And I texted my twin sister, and my twin sister just said, she'll know. She'll let you know if she needs you.
Yeah. You think, yeah, after like a few days, we probably hadn't slept properly in a good few nights. We're ready for a run.
No, and like obviously you're just full of adrenaline, aren't you? Yes. You're pumped with adrenaline. And I'd had a few stitches, and the local anaesthetic was starting to wear off, and that was getting quite sore. And then I just remember, I just had this feeling of thinking, God, I really wish I was just at home, actually.
Yeah.
I really wish we were just at home. But we were in one night, and then the next morning, the midwife just came round just to see how she was feeding, to check on me. They did all of her checks, and we were out by kind of 12 o'clock the next day.
Perfect. Yeah.
So it was great. Once I was in active labour, we were kind of, the labour in total was about 6 hours.
Yeah. And that's so interesting, because people might say to you, oh, when did your induction start? And it seems like it's these days, but it's not days in active labour, like generally speaking.
No, I mean,
for you it wasn't.
That 24-hour pessary, it was, you know, it's slightly uncomfortable as they put it in.
Yeah.
But once it's in there, you can't feel it. It didn't bother me. It was fine. So that 24 hours, I don't count that.
Yeah.
For me, I don't count that. It was just when we were, once they'd broken my waters, that's when it started.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't in active labour. And I don't know when I got to 4 centimetres, because like I said, they didn't check me.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't that long drawn out. For me, it wasn't that long drawn out process.
Yeah.
I think it's still admin before.
Yeah. Yes. So you had your husband as your birth partner, and what did he do that was helpful?
We talked about pain relief before, and I'd said to him I wanted Gasonair. I didn't want any pethidines, because I don't like the feeling of being really drunk and out of control.
Yeah.
So I'd said to him, I don't want pethidine, but if I ask for an epidural, ask me again, just to make sure I'm asking for it and I do really want it.
Yeah.
And then probably I'd say about 20 minutes before I was 10 centimeters, which I obviously didn't know at the time. I didn't know how long, I had no idea. I'd said to him, I can't do this. I need an epidural. And I remember him saying to me, ask me again. And I asked him, and he said, right, she definitely does. So it was really good that we had that conversation before.
And of course, that would have been transition for you, that point where you think, oh, I can't do this anymore. But in the moment, you never think, oh, this might be transition.
No, like, you just haven't got a clue. Because I remember saying, I can't do this anymore. I need an epidural. And then obviously, they were all thinking, oh, she's probably nearly there now.
Yeah.
And now I remember back, and I remember the midwife saying to Clem, that's actually a really good sign. That's really positive. She's probably nearly ready to push, because I didn't really speak during my labour. Once I was in my head, I was just counting my breathing a lot.
Yeah.
And my mum had said to me before, you know, contractions are about a minute, 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And she said to me, you can do anything for a minute if you just think it's a minute. So in my head, I was just thinking the whole time, it's just a minute.
Yeah.
You can do anything for a minute.
Nice.
So I was just very much breathing through everything, and I'd blocked everyone out.
Yeah.
But he just sat next to me and held my hand.
Yeah.
And I think because he knows me, he knew that I was just in the zone. So he wasn't panicking, because he was like, she's fine.
Yeah.
But I was really grateful we had that conversation before about pain relief, because I just felt like I was kind of giving him that to almost take ownership of.
Yeah, that's nice. Because quite often people ask, like, oh, what can birth partners do? What can my birth partner do to help? And a lot of the time it is just being there. Like, you knowing you're there helps you feel safer.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not so much doing something, it's just being present.
Exactly. It's just being there. And you know, on reflection, obviously it's not harder for them because you're the one physically giving birth, but equally it is difficult for them because you're in a hospital, the person you love is in pain, and there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that we did the hypnobirthing courses, and I'm really glad that he was involved in a lot of my thought process before, because I felt like actually he was then not going to panic as much.
Yeah.
Whereas if he hadn't had a clue what was going on, I feel like he might have been a bit panicky.
So for anyone going for an induction in the next few days, is there anything else you'd like to share with them?
I would just try and remember to relax into it, go with the flow as much as you physically can do, and also don't listen to any negative chat, and turn your phone off. You know, I turned my phone off because everyone was trying to get hold of me because they cared and they wanted to find out when the baby was coming.
Yeah.
But it was negative chat for me. And actually, I turned my phone off and I gave that power to Clem and said, you just control all of that. You tell people how we are and what's going on. And just focus on you and the baby. And when I was in hospital, we downloaded loads of rubbish TV. We watched Married at First Sight. We watched a whole series of it. But it was easy TV and it just took our minds off everything.
Yeah.
So do, if you know you're going in, do take your iPad, do take all of that sort of stuff. Take eye masks because they never turn the lights off in the hospital, and take rubbish TV on your iPad and some snacks, because unfortunately obviously the food's not great.
Yeah. Hospital food has a reputation.
Yeah, but I also think now, as like someone who's been through an induction, it's really important that other people talk about positive inductions too.
Yeah,
because the more people you talk to and say, actually, I was induced and it's really good, I'm finding a lot more people then say, oh yes, so was I actually, and it was great.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks so much for sharing with us. That's so useful. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks again, Liv, for sharing your story with us today. I really appreciate everyone who takes time to share their stories here with me. If you have a story you'd like to share, do get in touch. I want to end with three things that stood out for me in this conversation. Firstly, being informed and educating yourself is so important. Take time before your labour starts or before your induction starts to learn about induction and your options. It will help you have the confidence to ask questions and communicate your wants and needs to your provider. It's still your birth, even with an induction. Secondly, if you've been doing hypnobirthing classes and you feel like your teacher is not entirely supportive of induction, maybe even was anti-induction or tried to talk you out of induction generally, and now it's looking like induction is the best option for you and your baby, give yourself time to work on your mindset. Read positive stories, learn more about what you can do to make this more positive for you. And if you need support with mindset, do get in touch. I really love to help people with this because it can make a huge difference. Thirdly, you do not need to justify your decision to be induced to anyone. And you get to make your own decision. You'll likely be surrounded by all sorts of unsolicited advice from people who don't actually know your circumstances, some saying, get the induction, just do it, just go for it, and others saying, no, wait, no, you shouldn't do that. It's really a lot. But tune into what you need, go through the information you have, the benefits, the risks, weigh up for yourself and make the decision for you and your baby. You get to make the choice. Thanks for listening. Head over to the show notes for this episode at positiveinduction.com/episode15, where you'll find additional links and resources. You'll also find our induction birth story library, a great place to go for a mindset boost, and of course the Positive Induction course, a hypnobirthing course specially created for induction. Thanks again for being here with me today. Do get in touch if you have any questions. You can find me on Instagram at Positive Induction or email me jade@positiveinduction.com. I hope you have a lovely week.